in your Bible, please. Exodus, the 3rd chapter. And I'm reading from verse 13 as we continue our series of Christ in the Pentateuch. Then Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, 'I am has sent me.'" We have seen Christ revealed in the first book of the Pentateuch, the book of Genesis, and now we find ourselves again in the second book, Exodus. Our reminder this morning is that now, after 400 years of slavery in Egypt, God, hearing the cry of his people whom he has called out unto himself, is to send forth a human instrument of deliverance. His name will be Moses. It's some 600 years since God called Abram and gave him a promise. That promise was about a place for God's people. It was a promise concerning a unique relationship with the people that he was calling out unto himself. They would prosper. They would be protected by the true and the living God. And ultimately, be a blessing to all peoples of the earth. The promise of the anointed, the Christ coming forth through the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses now, realizing that he has had an encounter with the true and the living God and been commissioned to go and be the human instrument to deliver the nation out of slavery, immediately understands the awesomeness of this responsibility and how those whom he is going to speak to will recognize that he has authority to do what God has called him to do. "Who shall I say sent me? With what authority do I speak to them to be the instrument of deliverance?" "I am. Your authority is vested in me, the eternal, self-existing one." From there, we have gone to John's Gospel. And this morning, we arrive at, again, one of the I Ams, the second one. There are 8 dynamic declarations in the Gospel of John. 8 explosive exclamations. Incoming. Boom! No missing the impact of what is being declared. In John chapter 6, you'll remember, you can turn there because we're going to be in John chapter 8 in just a moment. We saw the first of the I Ams of the Gospel of John. John chapter 6, I'm reading from verse 35. "And Jesus said to them, 'I am, ego, eimi.'" The Greek that gave the message clearly that This is the eternal, self-existing one speaking. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. If you didn't get the message, verse 41, the Jews complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Look at verse 48. I am the bread of life. And look at verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. And we know that he was referencing his death in human form. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, that of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It was in that body that he bore our sins. This morning, the second of the dynamic declarations, the explosive exclamations of the Gospel of John that revealed to us Christ in the Old Testament, now connected through the Gospel of John. I am the light of the world. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world, the luminous force, the illuminating force that is inseparably linked to life. Light and life in the scriptures are inseparable. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Come on over to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. That defining declaration of Almighty God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is inseparable from his declaration of who he is and what he has come to accomplish. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Genesis chapter 1, you remember. God spoke, and into existence came all things out from within himself. And so it is that in John 1, chapter 1, verse 2, we have this same announcement of God in his Son bringing all things into existence. Colossians, the same declaration of God. In him, Christ, all things were made. Out from within him, there was nothing but God himself who brought all things into being. And he did so through the instrumentation of the Son, the Word, now manifest in flesh. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Light and life, inseparable. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not overcome the light. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming in to the world. John chapter 3, familiar verses, reading from verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only brought forth Son, begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Man's condition is because of his rejection of what God has provided, the light of life. And this is the commandment, or the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You see, man's condition is much more serious than any pandemic, any plague, which can cause illness and physical death. It is his condition of willful rejection and rebellion against God. Sin. His condition of sin that captured him, controls him, and ultimately condemns him to the eternal darkness of death and damnation. Light has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They rejected the revealing light of life. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. See, man has no excuse. He has no excuse for God declaring him doomed in darkness, in damnation, because God provided the light. But man loved darkness rather than light. In fact, he hates the light and loves the darkness. That's man's condition. That's how bad sin is. We see a lot of things going on in our world, and we're somewhat quick to judge and want things to be dealt with and changed. What we are experiencing is nothing new. It is the condition of man on display. His heart is desperately wicked and deceitful. Man in Adam and in his own willfulness hates the light and loves the dark. We should not be surprised, for it is only by the grace of God that any of us have embraced the light, exposing the sin that only He could remove. Come on over to John chapter 9. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Teacher, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" There was this understanding that blindness was part of man's condition of sin. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, teacher, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? That's the result of sin. Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. The purpose of this blindness is to reveal that I am the light. It's not the cause that he now is addressing. It's the purpose for which this blindness is now being addressed. Earlier in John's Gospel, Jesus connects a physical malady, a man who is impotent, powerless to do anything about his ability to move. He's laying at the well, at this bath place where people come to get healed. And Jesus, of course, mercifully tells him to take up his bed and walk. But he does say this. In your gratitude now, don't you sin. What I've done for you, you need to give thanks to God for. So the connection there. Matthew chapter 9. Here's a man, again, paralyzed. Jesus says, your sins are forgiven you. What's that all about? Well, he says to them, is it easier to say, walk, or your sins are forgiven? Sure, it's easier to say, but here's the deal. What I'm about to do is connected with sin. But here, he's not focusing on the cause of illness, the cause of deformity, the cause of... It's appointed unto man once to die. Why? His sin. The wages of sin is what? Death. But he focuses on the purpose for which this blind man now is in their presence. It's that they might see and understand who he is. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. This is the purpose. It wasn't because of his sin or his parents' sin. The reason we now are here together in the presence of this man who was born blind is that you might see that I am the light of the world. And then he demonstrated it, didn't he? Yeah. When he had said these things, made that declaration, he spat on the ground, made clay with the saliva, anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed, came back seeing. I am the light of the world. John chapter 12, verse 35. Then Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. Man, in his continual rebellion and rejection of God, has convinced himself that he is in control of his life. He's lost. He has no direction. He has no purpose but to bring down ultimate condemnation upon himself, because it's deserving. He who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. Come on over for a moment quickly to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians. Reading from verse 8 of chapter 5. For you were once darkness. That's the condition of all. But now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit, actually a better translation, light, is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are manifest by light. For whatever makes manifest is life. The luminous force of the light of life, God himself. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, from the death of darkness, and Christ will give you light, according from Isaiah, back to John chapter 12, verse 36. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. That the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? God is light. He has exposed the light of light. But men like darkness. They love darkness. Therefore, they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw the glory and spoke of him. Remember when Isaiah, chapter 6, went into the temple? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And immediately he went prostrate. He went on his face. I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the Lord, the light. But men reject that light. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of man more than the praise of God. Then Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. There is no way out of the doom, of the darkness, of sin, apart from embracing the light, from coming to the light, allowing our sins to be revealed so that he, through his shed blood, can remove them. We're going over to Acts chapter 13. Acts 13. Reading from verse 46. Paul and Barnabas are taking the good news of Christ to the Gentiles, And Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you, Jews, first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. God has a people that he has elected, selected out unto himself. That process of calling a people out unto himself is God drawing a people out of darkness. He gives the light to all to draw those in that darkness of death and damnation unto himself. But man loves darkness. He hates the light because the light exposes who he is. But God has a people before the foundation of the world that he has called out unto himself. And by the grace of God, we who have placed our faith in him are the elect of God, the chosen of God. Not because of anything in ourselves, but because of his mercy and his grace that allowed us to see our sin as he exposed our sin for the purpose of removing it. Acts chapter 26. Paul's giving a personal account of his conversion experience, of his coming to the light. The light who was? Christ Jesus. Verse 12. While thus occupied, while he was persecuting the church, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, along the road, I saw light. A light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goadings. The Spirit of God was bringing that conviction. Paul now says, so I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. The light. Jesus. Arise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people, as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light. And from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith. We live in a world that is preoccupied, and unfortunately, even the Church of Jesus Christ has been caught up with the necessity of social reform. We need to change our world. We need to make it better. Man doesn't need social reform. He needs release from sin. And that only happens through the light. Jesus, our sin bearer. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from Satan to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Reading from verse 3. But even if our gospel, our good news, is hidden, veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, those who are doomed in darkness, those whose minds the God of this age has blinded. What we see around us is Satan's control and dominance and destruction of humankind. He's doing all that he can. He knows that he is doomed. But he is doing all that he can to see to it that he doesn't go down alone. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine. Genesis 1. And God said, let there be light. There was nothing but himself. And as he spoke into being all that would then be his creation, he gave light, the luminous force of himself, life to that which he has created. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who was shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We sang that great hymn this morning. That hymn of God being light. Look at chapter 6, verse 13. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment, that confession of Christ, without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ's appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is blessed and the only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, I am the eternal self-existing one, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see. No man has seen God, but the Son, the only brought forth Son, has exposed him, allowed him to be seen. He's the light of life. John 1:18. Who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. In contrast to those who have rejected, you who have received Christ, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you might proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once we're not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We are a people with purpose, and that is to walk in the light and to reflect that light and to proclaim that light. 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. John now is writing from personal experience. What we, like himself, others who were with Jesus in the flesh, personally participated in, the life was manifest. And we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us in the Son, that which we have seen, John recorded in his gospel. At least 8 dramatic demonstrations of who Jesus is. He also gave 8 dynamic declarations. That which we have seen, the demonstrations, and heard, what he declared, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship, koinonia, one with us. And truly our fellowship, our oneness is with the Father and with the Son, his Son, Jesus the Christ. These things we write unto you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from him and declared to you, that God is light. His very essence of his being, the luminous force of life. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, oneness with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, in the luminous force of the light, of the presence of Christ giving to us life, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We're walking here and now as a people of light. We're in a dark world. We're to be reflecting that light. We are to be proclaiming that light. For there is no hope out of the darkness of sin apart from coming to the light, Christ. There's a time coming. And it is John once again in Revelation chapter 21. I'm reading from verse 9. He says, then one of the 7 angels who had the 7 bowls filled with 7 last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a precious, most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Look at verse 22. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. And the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. But there shall be by no means enter anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie. But only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was a tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, an illumination yet to be fully experienced. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. We belong to him. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp, nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Father, thank you once again for allowing us to see revealed in your word the magnificence, the glory of your brilliance, your magnificence in your Son, our Savior, who is the light of life, the light of the world. We rejoice now and when we see you. In that light, we will rejoice forever and ever. Amen.